we're making year-end lists, checking them twice. Here's one. According to BabyCenter.com, the top five baby names for 2013 are Sophia, Emma, Olivia, Isabella, and Mia for girls, and Jackson, Aiden, Liam, Lucas, and Noah for boys. Reporter Jennifer Guerra from the Here and Now contributor Michigan Radio has been thinking a lot about names lately, what they mean, what they project, what roles they may play in a child's future, and she's got a good reason.
I've been visiting schools the last couple of months, working on stories, and as the weeks ticked by, it became pretty obvious to the kids that I was expecting a baby girl, actually. Hardly a day would go by when one of them wouldn't ask me,
"What's your daughter going to be named?"
"We don't have a name yet. Do you have any suggestions?"
Maybe Elizabeth or Jasmine.
And from there, the names just kept on coming.
Sophie and Sophia.
We should name it Princess.
Heaven's a real nice name.
I like Nevaeh, because that's heaven spelled backwards.
To find out what's in a name, I called up David Figlio at Northwestern University. The majority of his research tries to answer these two questions.
Why do we see such persistent, disparate outcomes for children across different walks of life? And how are differences in advantage or disadvantage perpetuated from generation to generation?
One answer, he argues, has to do with names. For his study, Figlio looked at the first names on 2 million Florida birth certificates from 1992 through 2002. He ran the names through a fancy algorithm and eventually was able to predict whether the child was born to a mom who was poorly educated or not based on the child's name. And here's why that matters.
The teachers are more likely, all else equal, to recommend the kid with a name that sounds like it was given by a college graduate mom as gifted. And the teacher was more likely, all else equal, to recommend the kid with the high school dropout mom as learning disabled.
In other words, teachers subconsciously treat kids differently depending on their name. Turns out juvenile court judges do too. Figlio found that judges are likely to deal more harshly with a kid if they have a name that signifies low income status. And the name studies don't end there. Adam Alter is at New York University, and he's the author of Drunk Tank Pink and Other Unexpected Forces That Shape How We Think, Feel, and Behave. Now, in his book, he talks about a name study he did, which looked at how easily pronounceable names are, what he calls fluent names. Take the name Catherine, for example. Now, you could go with the relatively easy-to-pronounce variant, like Kate or Kathy, or you could go with one that's harder to make out, like Catalina, spelled K-A-T-E-L-I-J-N-E.
We found that people with fluent names were more well-liked or better liked, that politicians with fluent names, even with the same basic policy platforms in a number of experiments, were preferred to politicians with complex names.
Both Alter and David Figlio agree that your parents' socioeconomic background is more important than any name you're given in terms of future success in life. But for children in poverty, the odds are already stacked against them.
So, unfortunately, I would have to suggest that all else being equal, if you pick a name that is associated with higher socioeconomic status, people will make assumptions that are probably more favorable as far as your child is concerned.
No, names are not destiny, which for the record is a lovely girl's name. But Alter says there's enough evidence to suggest that names do have some effects on how people form impressions about you. So what are we naming our baby? Well, that's one name I won't be revealing until she's born. For Here and Now, I'm Jennifer Guerra in Ann Arbor.
And we wish you all the best with that, Jennifer. You're listening to Here and Now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink technical computing software, accelerating the pace of discovery in engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.